Our Father in heaven, we thank you for how you have guided and kept us in the past week. Thank you for the school that we went to, for the work that we've been able to do, and thank you for family, for friends, for all the things that you have provided for us in the past week. Lord, as we come yet again into your presence, we want to give you thanks on the one hand, and on the other hand, we want to receive from you. We ask you to continue to bestow upon us strength, joy, grace, and mercy so that we can go through yet another week. Lord, we thank you because you are God Emmanuel, God with us. And you are God of love, you are God of mercy, you are God of faithfulness. And we trust that as we draw close to you, you will draw close to us. Lord, we thank you for your salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Lord, we understand your command that we should live out this abundant life in you, in every aspect of our lives here on earth. And so may you enable us to live for you throughout this week, to really be your witnesses, so that when people see our good deeds, they will praise you in heaven. We thank you, God. But at this time, we lift up to you those of us who are bereaved, those of us who have just lost loved ones. Lord, may you comfort them. May you assure them that one day they will be reunited with their loved ones who are enjoying this peace, this joy in your bosom at this moment. Lord, we also lift up to you those who are struggling with physical illness or emotional problems or spiritual challenges. Lord, we lift them all up to you. Those who are sick, may you touch them with your hand of healing. Those who have emotional problems, Lord, we pray that as they cry out to you, you hear them and you reach out and help them to get out of their situation. Lord, for those who may be struggling with sin in their lives, may they see that Christ has already risen, he is victorious, he is triumphant, and through the working of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome sin. Lord, help us all to live a victorious life. Lord, we also pray for our church that you will continue to guide us as we celebrate 20 years of your love, faithfulness, and goodness. Help us all rejoice in you because you've been good to us in good times and not so good times. In challenges, in joys and sorrows, you have always been there for us and with us. And we praise you for that. Lord, we also lift up to you the upcoming mission conference at the end of this month. Lord, we pray that our church will never lose sight of this great commission that you have given to us. Help us to bring your gospel to the local communities and also beyond, to places in the world. Lord, we pray that through the mission conference, you will once again rekindle the fire, the desire of mission within us. May you bless the weekend so that in the end, we can see your glory and give thanks to you. And at this moment, as we are about to study your word, we pray that your spirit will guide us into your truth and help us to keep it and live according to it in the coming days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Very good morning to all of you. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord, sitting very quietly, very respectfully, worshiping the Lord. And we thank the worship team for helping us to draw close to the throne of grace this morning so that we can really sense and feel God's presence in His house. Now, this morning, I have chosen a passage in the book of Ecclesiastes to share with you. The book of Ecclesiastes is a book about life. It was written by King Solomon at his old age. He put his knowledge, his understanding, and his philosophy of life together in this book. The purpose, it was to caution humanity, to advise humanity to live according to God's way. He ended his writing with the following. He says in chapter 12, verse 13, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Now, this morning, we look at chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. Solomon teaches us that we should have a plan and strategy for any task that we take up. And we must be bold enough. We must be willing to take risks when we carry out the task. He also encourages us to work hard, to give to charity, and to trust God wholeheartedly. Then, if we do all these things, we'll be able to live an abundant life as God has promised us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now he says in verse 1, please follow along in your Bible. "Cast your bread upon the waters." Bread implies grain and wheat from which bread comes. "Cast upon waters" means to send grain and wheat overseas by ship. Please note that the word "waters" is in plural. In other words, don't put all the grain and wheat in just one ship. More ships should be deployed for the shipment. In case one or two sink, there are still others. It's just like the proverb, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Sea transport involves risks. It was true in the past, and it is true today. There are risks like shipwrecks and piracy. In recent years, if you pay attention to the news, Somali pirates have kidnapped oil tankers and cargo ships off the coast of East Africa. The victim countries can do nothing but pay the ransom for people and for the goods. Yes, the insurance company compensates for the loss, but for sure it will increase the premium next year. There was no insurance for shipping in ancient times. Nevertheless, the merchants took a risk and exported their merchandise overseas. Why? Well, the second half of verse 1 says, "For after many days, you will find it again." What this means is, if the shipment arrived safely at the destination, the merchant would be able to sell it for a profit and then turn the profit around and use it to buy goods to bring home to sell at home. Now, in this case, the merchants would be able to make a lot of money. Solomon explains verse 1 further in verse 2. He says, "Give portions to seven, yes to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land." This means giving portions to seven is good, but not good enough. It's better to give eight and more. This corresponds to the meaning of verse 1. Don't put all eggs in one basket. You should diversify. You should branch out. Why? For you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. As you read the second part of this verse, you read, "you do not know," this sentence. This sentence is a theme in the book of Ecclesiastes. It speaks of humanity's limitations. There's no way we can predict the future. And so we need to be prepared at all times. In case of disaster, we will not suffer total loss. Now, through verses 1 and 2, King Solomon teaches us to invest or to take up a task with a plan and strategy and to go forward boldly and be willing to take risks. Nothing ventured, nothing gained, as the saying goes. Solomon's teaching also prompts us to pay attention to our spiritual investments as well. But how should we use the talent, the time, the treasure that God has given to you and to me? Should we also cast them upon waters and diversify them in God's ministry, use them in so many different ways so that other people, including ourselves, could benefit? We may not know the fruit of our work, but God knows. However, there is one thing we know. If we do not use the God-given gifts, if we do not use any of it, there will be no result for sure. There will be no fruit for sure. Some scholars apply verses 1 and 2 to giving to charity. They teach Christians to practice giving, to help the needy, not just to seven portions, but to aid, and the more the merrier. Now, if we keep it up, after many days, we'll find it again. And the Apostle Paul says, those who are in DI should remember this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says what? Let us not become weary in doing good. That's right. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That's right. If we do not give up. Jesus Christ says, give and it will be given to you. Since it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let us give generously. Let us be generous in our giving and use our talent, our time, our treasure to serve God and to serve others. And in the process and in the end, we can glorify our Father in heaven. Now all this is about investing, ways of investing. What about ways of working? Solomon says in verse 6, sow your seed in the morning and at evening let not your hands be idle. For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that or whether both will do equally well. The main point of verse 6 is, let not your hands be idle. Solomon tells the farmers not to let their hands be idle. They should sow their seed without ceasing from morning to evening. Why? Because sowing at any period of time during the day may bring about a harvest. Nobody knows, but we have to keep doing it. In other words, as long as we work hard, we will succeed. Helena, the Chinese character for diligence is this. Helena. Right on. Kan, right? Like many Chinese words, it's made up of two components, the left and the right. The part on the right, on the left, is kan. Kan means sincere. It means wholehearted. The part on the right means it's like, right? It means strength. It's the name of Felix in Chinese. That is to say, diligence means applying strength to do a task sincerely and wholeheartedly. Diligence is a habit which must be nurtured and developed. It will never come naturally. Human nature is such that we are never diligent, right? It must be nurtured. It must be developed. It is a God-honoring quality. The book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 4 says, lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. Lots of successful people like Einstein and Bill Gates said that their success is due to 90% not talent, but diligence. Check it out on the website. I ask myself, for those geniuses, their success is based on only 10% talent and 90% diligence. What about me? And so for me, I think I have to work harder, much harder, 100% diligence, right? Yeah, I may not have that much talent, but if I work hard, I believe that I will be able to please God, and God will honor that, and God will bless my effort. God demands us to do our very best. Jesus Christ tells the parable of the talents to urge us, to teach us to work hard. The master, when he returned from his overseas trip, he meets with all the servants, right? He praises the two servants who have received 5 and 2 talents of money respectively. Why? Because these two servants are faithful and diligent in investing their money. But the one who has received 1 talent buried it in the ground, right, and did nothing. He didn't even bother putting it in the bank. And as a result, the master rebukes him for being lazy. And in the end, the master takes the money away from him. Now, God is pleased with all of us when we work hard. Now, Jesus is the perfect example of diligence. He once said, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." Jesus' work is ongoing. Today, he is praying for you and for me 24/7 at the right hand of God's throne in heaven. And he continues to save sinners through the working of the Holy Spirit. It is not you, it is not I, who am able to bring people to Christ. Without the work of Jesus Christ, without the working of the Holy Spirit, we are nothing. 2 weeks ago, I shared with you, Jesus Christ said this very clearly, "Apart from me, you can do nothing," which is so true. And we thank God that Jesus Christ continues to work, even though he has already ascended into heaven today. He continues to pray for you and me. He continues to save people through the working of the Holy Spirit. We are only vessels at his service. And we work hard at school, not merely because we want to get straight A's, not merely because we want to earn a scholarship for college or university. And we work hard in the workplace, not merely because we want to get a raise or get a promotion. Yes, it's all that. You know, it's all right to have that kind of desire. But there should be more. As God's people, we work hard and excel in our work, in our studies, because we want to honor God. We want to honor God. And when we work hard at home, in school, at work, and here in church, God is well pleased. God's name is glorified. And also, the fruit of our labor will really benefit not only ourselves, the people we serve, but really bring glory to God. Now, be it investing, be it working or studying, we should not let the uncertainty of life affect us or stop us from planning. Solomon uses 2 illustrations to explain this point in verses 3 and 4, where he says, I'm quoting from the Message by Eugene Peterson. He says, "When the clouds are full of water, it rains. When the wind blows down a tree, it lies where it falls. Don't sit there watching the wind. Do your own work. Don't stare at the clouds. Get on with your life. Some things are inevitable in life. For instance, clouds bring rain. This morning, when I was preaching in the first Chinese service, I saw many clouds, much more than now. There are still clouds out there. And, you know, I was saying to the congregation, perhaps it might rain. But who knows? I wish you not let this stop us from taking the picture later on today, right? Half an hour later, we're going to take a picture for the 20th anniversary of our church, right? Some things in life are inevitable. Clouds bring rain. A tree lies right where it falls. Nobody can stop that big tree. Last Sunday, a tornado whipped through the town of Leamington in southwestern Ontario. A century-old tree was blown down. It could have fallen down in so many different places. But you know what? It chose to fall on a house which had been a family home for several generations. That house was over 100 years old. Generations of the same family was living there. Now, nothing could have stopped that tree from falling on the house. Solomon also continues. He says, whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. This means some people won't sow their seed because they fear that the wind will blow the seed away. Some people think, oh, it's going to rain. And so they don't do anything. They don't go to the field to reap the harvest. But we can't sit on our hands just because bad things may happen. Just because we have no control over those things. We can't just sit around and do nothing. Just because we don't know what is going to happen, something bad is going to happen. It is wise to know the difficulty and take precaution every step of the way. But if we think too much of the uncertainty and wait for ideal situations, I'm afraid we will never invest. We will never do anything. We will become lazy. We will not accomplish anything. For instance, if we wait for the perfect time, wait for the perfect place to read the Bible, to pray to God every day, I'm afraid we'll never begin. Last week after church, Auntie Eva excitedly shared with me what happened in the Sunday school class. She told me that a student in her class would wake up several minutes earlier every day just to read the Bible, just to pray to God, just to do his devotion before he goes to school. And he finds that he would have a good start of the day and stay focused on God during the day. I can tell this person is really on the right footing with God, on good relationship with God. When we read God's word, listen to God and ask him for guidance throughout the day, there'll be a much smaller chance for us to make mistakes. But if we wait for the perfect time, for the perfect place to do devotion, I'm afraid we'll never do it. If we wait for the perfect ministry to join, we'll never serve God. If we wait for a perfect church to join, I'm afraid we'll never join it. Even when you join it, the church becomes imperfect. And therefore, don't wait for a time convenient for you or for me, which may never come. Now, in these six verses, King Solomon has used a phrase as many as four times. I don't know if you noticed, as Jeffrey was reading for us. What is that phrase? That is used four times in these six short verses. You know what that is? That sentence is, you don't know. You do not know. In verse 2, Solomon says, give, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. In verse 6, he says, sow, for you do not know which will succeed. And then in verse 5, he says, as you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Others, the sentence, you cannot understand, can also be translated, you do not know. The repetition of this phrase, or this sentence, you do not know, makes us aware of our limitations. There is a lot we don't know about nature and life. Of course, we go to school, we go to college. We have already graduated from college. We study science, we study biology, we study physiology. We study everything about us, about ourselves. But how much do we really know about ourselves? Very little, I'm afraid. We should thank God that we don't know. Imagine the burden of knowing everything about your future and my future. Imagine the burden. You know, if something good is going to happen, we look forward to it. Certainly, you know, I'm going to win $1 million. Of course, I look forward to that day when I get $1 million. But what if something bad is going to happen and you know it ahead of time? The fear, the anxiety, while waiting for that something bad to happen, would be just too much to bear. It would be just too scary. You don't want that day to come any sooner. We thank God. We don't know the future. We don't know everything about our life in the future. But our God knows. We thank God for that. He knows. He is in control. And He always has our best interests in mind. It is He who directs the path of the wind. It is He who controls the fall of the tree. And it is He who creates life and takes good care of it. Today, you and I can have this wonderful eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's all because God has had this plan long before the creation. Long before the creation, He already knew Benson Wu. Long before the creation, He already knew Felix Lam. Long before the creation, He already knew Rosanna Choi. We thank God. God is in control of everything. And He cares for us. And therefore, whatever our circumstances, however inadequate we may be, we need not fear about our future, because our God is in perfect control. And the Bible says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. The word is dynamite in Greek. Dynamite, that explosive power. The power of the Holy Spirit can help us overcome our fear so that we can go forward, so that we can be bold to take risks for God. When Joshua succeeded Moses as leader of the Israelites, he must have felt the weight of that challenge. Even though he had been well-groomed under Moses, how was he to lead close to 2 million Israelites into a strange land, into a sinful place, to conquer it and to set up their homes and to build their country? How was he to do that? I imagine yourself speaking at your school assembly one morning in front of 1,000 schoolmates. Have you ever tried that before? If you have, I encourage you to take up the challenge. You know, it will be menacing, intimidating, but try it. It will be a good experience for you. Now, leading a crowd of 2 million people would be 2,000 times larger than your speaking in front of your schoolmates in the assembly. It's really sometimes unbearable. Huh? But three times, God assured Joshua, be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Oh, my brothers and sisters, while our church is celebrating the 20th anniversary, let's remind ourselves not to look at the uncertainty of life, not to be transfixed on the challenges or the failures, but let us turn to God and turn our eyes upon God and be focused on Him. Just as He has watched over and provided for our church in the past 20 years, so He will do the same, not only for the church, but for you, for your mom and dad, for every family individual in this church. Now, when you received the bulletin this morning, you see this lovely design. I will say a few words later on, but you know, at the bottom on the left-hand side, you see this verse, Psalm chapter 57, verse 10. You know, it says, maybe you can read it together with me, all right? Let us read it together. Great is your love reaching to the heavens, your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Yes, as we look back on the past 20 years, as we look back on how God has provided for us, not only individually, but also corporately, let us remember God's love, remember God's faithfulness. When we praise God and count His blessings, we can boldly go forward because we know that nothing is impossible with God. In good times, not so good times, in joys and sorrows, in challenges and in peaceful times, our God has always been faithful. Our God has always been good. And so King Solomon wants you and me to live an abundant life. And he has shown us the ways of living. We should really have a plan and strategy for our task, whether it is schoolwork, whether it is career, whether it is our whatever. We should be bold enough trusting that God is in control. And we can take risks because God is in charge. So that's how we can live the abundant life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So let us pray, all right? Dear God, once again we thank you for how you have been watching over all of us in this church. Lord, you've been good to us in the past 20 years. And we know that you will continue to be faithful and loving because this is your church. Oh Lord, help us to respond to your love. Help us to know that you want us to live for you. You want us to be your witnesses. You want us to really testify to your goodness in this community and beyond. And so, Lord, help us to live according to the teaching of your word so that day in, day out, we can always enjoy every blessing you so freely give to us. Praise you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.